Romans 2, verse 4, our text, it says that not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The title of the message this morning, simply, The Goodness of God. But especially, I want you to think about how that leads to repentance. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts today. And Lord, we've come to a time of the year that many people are thinking about you and thinking about spiritual things. And I hope that they can. I hope that all the other festivities wouldn't get in the way of people thinking about just how good you are. God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all that you do for us. And now please speak to our hearts as we come again to hear your word. God, I pray that you will guide us into the truth of the scripture and that there will be some repentance today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Really just three things this morning I want to talk to you about. Number one is God's goodness. Number two is God's guidance. And number three is God's goal. And you'll notice in verse 4 the word repentance. That is the goal here. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God is always wanting to lead us to repentance. Now, repentance, don't let that scare you. The word is metanoeo. Don't let that scare you. It just simply means to change your mind. It is a change of mind. And usually when we change our minds, there's going to be results following that. And God is always trying to get us to change our mind. Our minds aren't going the direction they should go most of the time. We're naturally in sinful ways. We naturally sin. God wants us to change our mind about those sins. God wants you, instead of loving and embracing sin, God wants you to hate it and get away from it. God, and if you're here today and you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, God wants you to change your mind about that. God wants you to decide to trust Christ. Maybe you say, well, I'm very religious, and I go to church, and I've gone to church for many years, and I'm a religious person. God wants you to change your mind about thinking that's going to get you to heaven. Maybe you got baptized one time, or you were sprinkled as a little baby, and you say, you know, I did all that, and I think everything's all right. God wants you to change your mind, because it's not all right. Because Jesus said you must be born again. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so God is always trying to get us to change our mind. He uses many things. Talked last week about being broken. And sometimes that will get us to change our mind. We talked about His chastening and dealing with us. And certainly that is one thing. In reference to unsaved people, in Jude 22, the Bible says, of some have compassion, making a difference. But it says in verse 23, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. When I got saved, I was terrified. I didn't want to go to hell. I was scared. God used, He used the fear of hell, the fear of punishment, to cause me to repent, to cause me to change my mind. And instead of thinking that I was all right, instead of thinking that maybe my good works would get me to heaven, instead of thinking that religion might get me to heaven, God showed me that I wasn't going to get to heaven. I was going to go to hell. And He used the idea of judgment to cause me to change my mind and to call upon Christ to save me. But in verse, again, in Jude 22, it says, some have compassion, making a difference. And this is really what I'm talking to you about today, the goodness of God. And God says His goodness can lead us to change our minds. His goodness can cause us to change our mind. And the whole idea here is God's effort to get us to change our mind. He uses anything and He'll use anything. The main thing is that we change our mind. The main thing is that if you're here today and you're lost, you'll change your mind and you'll get saved. The main thing is if you're here today and you never trusted Christ as Savior, but you're very religious, you'll change your mind that hey, religion is not going to get you to heaven. You must be born again. Perhaps you're here as a Christian and you've got your own ideas and your own thoughts. Oh, you've been saved. You've trusted Christ as Savior. But hey, I've got some other ideas. God wants to change your mind today. Maybe you're holding on to some old sin and you know, you just keep grabbing onto that thing and you just don't want to let go of that. God says, I want to change your mind about that. I want to change your mind, and it'll change your attitude. And God wants to change our minds today. And the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Certainly, many things
can cause us to change our mind. But he says the goodness, his goodness could do it. If you just think about it today, his goodness, the goodness of God, leadeth us to repentance. Number one, I want you to see God's goodness. Isn't it interesting this time of year, how amazing all of a sudden kids are good. Have you noticed that? I mean, you know, if you have children, boy, it's this time of year from last week on, you know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, boy, we're sitting up straight, we're doing right, and we're being good and everything else, and especially when they're asking for toys. You know, I know when I was little, that's how I was. I mean, you know, all year long, I'd be a terror. But I mean, when it came down to Christmas season and mom said, well, kids, make out your list. I knew then from now on, I better be good. Why? Because I'm wanting something, right? And my parents' goodness, you know, it caused me to change my mind. But I was sure hoping that my goodness had changed their minds. I was hoping that if they were remembering back to some of the things that I did throughout the year, I was hoping that wasn't going to affect that list. Amen. And so I was real good. Now, the thing is, God's always good. God is always good. He's always been good to you. And God is saying that if you'll just look at my goodness today, he's saying, I think I can help change your mind about some things. And because the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. God is always good. And so number one is God's goodness. And we live in a day where so many times radio preaching and TV and magazines and some of this stuff, we get kind of a false idea about God's goodness. We get the idea that, well, you know, Sister Bertha was healed. God's good. Brother Cletus got a raise. God is sure good, isn't he? And you know, you hear things like that. Hey, God provided money for the building. Isn't God good? And the Smith family, they got a new car. Boy, I tell you, God sure is good, isn't it? But we never hear things like, Brother Jones is sick. Isn't God good? Isn't that funny? We never hear stuff like that. We never hear, Brother so-and-so lost their job. Boy, God's good, isn't he? Isn't that amazing? It almost gives the idea that as long as our circumstances are favorable, God's good. When they're not, eh. And that's so wrong. That is so wrong. But we never hear, Sister so-and-so was in a car wreck. Isn't God good? Never hear that. I'm here to tell you this. No matter what happens, God is good. He's always good. God's goodness. It is impossible for God not to be good. You say, yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. I'm sick. I don't feel good. God's still good. You say, but I'm broke. I don't have any money. Everything's going wrong. God's still good. Well, but we just had a funeral and it was a loved one and God's still good. But look, we live in Michigan and we just lost our job. No, God is still good. Yeah, but I wrecked my car and God is still good. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm not happy. Well, God is still good. We have to understand God is always good no matter what happens. Your circumstances don't mean that God's not good. Now again, here's why we don't change our mind. Here's why our lives continue the way they are. It's because we get mixed up on this idea of whether God's good or not. We look at circumstances, we look at trials, we look at economy, we look at things we don't necessarily like, and we say, well, we don't allow ourselves to see all of God's goodness. We don't allow ourselves to get excited about all the good things that God's doing because we fall and pray to the idea, well, if it's not fun, if it's not good for me, then God must not be good. Oh, let me tell you, God is always good. God is always good. He never is not good. Our problem is we've made God's goodness dependent on our circumstances. And we qualify it and we don't even consider that God's good when something's going wrong in our lives. We don't even consider the idea that God is good. And we're listening to too much junk instead of our Bibles. You know what? God is always good, though there are trials, though God's people go into captivity, though Daniel goes in the lion's den, though Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go in the fiery furnace, though God's people are backed up to the Red Sea, and it looks like there's no escape. Hey, God's always good. God's always good. No matter your trial, if it's the fire, if it's the waters, God's going to take care of you. God is always good. And think about some of the things. And I wish people really would. Just think about things. Have you ever thought about the fact that if you lost your health, that means that you had health? You can't lose something you didn't have. I mean, thank God for that. If you lost your job, you had a job. Y'all don't seem to be excited about that at all. Well, tell your face to smile. It'll be okay. If God is good. If you lost your home, you had a home. And if you had a home, God knows how to get you another home. I'm just saying, God is always good. Think about God's provision, how he takes care of us. The air that you breathe, God gave you. Amen? I mean, we don't have it all figured out how to provide that air. You know, God provides all of that. The water we drink, the food that we eat, God takes care of us. The Bible says that he even rains on the just and the unjust. God takes care of those who reject him. God will rain on their garden just like he rains on your garden. Isn't that something? You're here today and you say, I don't believe all that. I don't care about God. I'm not going to do what God says. I'm not interested in God. And yet God gives you food. God gives you water. God gives you air to breathe. God gives you health. Do you understand your heart? Have you ever thought about where you're plugged in? Hello? I mean, don't plug your cell phone in at night, and after a while, it's going to run dead, okay? Have you ever thought, you and I don't plug in anywhere. You know, we don't run off the sun, because in Michigan, we'd all die during the winter. God keeps you alive. He gave you life. He keeps you alive. He provides for us. You know, really, if you're here today and you've never been saved, the only decent thing you could do today is to get saved because of God's goodness. He's taken care of you. He's provided. He provides for every one of us. You say, well, you know, there's a lot of things I can't do, but there's a lot of things you can do. And it's because God has given you opportunity. He's kept you alive. He provides for us. And then I think about, his pursuit of us. You know, God, it's amazing how years ago there was this little slogan that Christians said, I found him. That's so false. You didn't find him. He found you. He looks for us. He said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. He chased me down. I didn't chase him down. He found me. And thank God for that. And he convicted me. He doesn't have to do that. That's a good thing God does. That's a good thing that he does. We turned from him. We rebelled against him. And there's no reason God should love us. You look at yourself today and think about your own life. And think about how you have gone against God and against God's word. I mean, I think about that myself many times. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, when he saw God in his holiness. And you think about your life and think about the sins that we've committed and the times we've just said, God, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I don't care what you say. And yet he loves you. Yet he seeks for you. Yet he comes after you. Yet he will come and meet in a service like this and convict your heart. See, I can so clearly remember sitting right there in that third row as a young teenager and hearing the Word of God preached and sitting there and my heart starting to pound a little faster as God's conviction started to take over in my life and knowing I was lost and knowing I needed to be saved and knowing I was going to hell and God was coming after me. And I thank God for that today. You say, I don't like that feeling. I don't like it. Hey, that's because God, that's God saying, I love you. Amen. That's God saying the best thing you could do today is change your mind. The best thing you could do today is repent and go a different direction and come to me and change your mind about your salvation and get saved. But God's the one. There's no reason he should come after us. He loved us while we were yet sinners. That's an amazing thing. It's not because we're beautiful. It's not because of our wonderful way. It's while we're yet sinners. It's Brother Hawkins, while we're cursing him, he loves us. It's while we're disobeying his word, he loves us. It's why we're going against everything, every principle in Scripture. He loves us. It's while Saul is persecuting the church and killing his God's people that he loved him. Oh, God's so good. God chases us down. You know, God's so good. You know, as a Christian, what a blessing conviction is. I wouldn't exactly call it a blessing, preacher. You know what it says to me every time I'm convicted? That doesn't necessarily mean I always get right immediately. But I'll tell you what it always says to me. It says, God is saying, I love you. I love you. Hey, here's what's best for you. Here's the best thing for you. Huh? His pursuit. He's after us. Amen? He chases us. Though we mistreat him and we reject him, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, quench not the Holy Spirit of God. We do all those things. But he stays after us. God's good. God's good. Would you look at his goodness today? Would you look at his goodness today? Would you think about his goodness today, how he provides? Think about his goodness today, how he pursues us. Think about his goodness today. He pardons us. He's forgiven me for my sins. That's amazing to me. I mean, because Jesus died on the cross, he pardons me. He died on the cross. He paid for my sin. When I called upon him and asked him to forgive me, he forgave totally. You know, somebody will say, oh, I forgive you. And you kind of look at him like, yeah, I wonder if you really do. And they're saying, I'm not sure if I really do, but I'll say it. When God says it, he means it.
Amen.
Forgiven. Forgotten. Gone. Gone. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Hard to believe his son would die on a cross for me. Hard to believe that his son would come and live a perfect life and die for us. That's what Christmas is all about. You know, the snowman and the fat guy and all that stuff, that's just the festivities of it all. But you know what it's all about? It's all about Jesus coming to die on a cross. It's all about that. And it's not just that we're not going to hell. It's we get to go to heaven. I mean, his pardon is wonderful. It's wonderful. And somebody says, well, what about people that are in hell today? You know, God offered a gift and they refused it. It's like this. If I offered you a $50 bill, or I say, you can have this or you can give me $50, you have a choice. I'm still good. I mean, if you end up giving me the $50, that's not my fault. I offered you $50. God offers man heaven. It's his choice. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God's good. God, he didn't have to do that. I've had people say, you know, they get all bent out. Well, if God was really good, there wouldn't be a hell. Nobody has to go to hell. You're here today, and you know, well, I don't like all that, and you know, you don't have to go to hell. Jesus made a way so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Nobody has to. You know, his pardon, thank God for that. How about his patience? In verse 4, back to our text, it says this, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering. I like his patience. You ever read the Old Testament? I mean, do you understand that Uzzah disobeyed God and boom, he died? How about Ananias and Sapphira as the plates are being passed? It'd make offering, it'd add a whole new meaning to the offering. It added a lot more excitement to the offering. They gave half of what they had. Wouldn't that be exciting? We'd have to call all the funeral homes in the Adrian area while we do our offering. You say, preacher, that's really not funny. No, I know. God doesn't work that way like he did then. But the point was not in the giving. The point was in the lying. They lied to God. But I'm just saying this. Just like that, they're gone. Isn't it amazing how God puts up with us? Many times when I'm praying and talking to God, I say, God, I don't know how you put up with me. But I'm glad you do. Thank you. But see, we don't recognize it because we get foggy on how good God really is. You know, why doesn't God just wipe us out? He sent a flood once to wipe out the world because man was doing everything and anything he could even imagine. That's where we are today. Why has God put up with all of it? The Bible says he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His patience. And of course, he's good because of his promise. You know, as long as God is on the throne, he says he's going to save us to the uttermost. His promise. Whatever happens, we're secure in him. No matter what. You say, well, I'm nervous about the economy. Well, you can be nervous, but I'll tell you what. Everything's okay as long as you're safe. God's good. He's good about that. You can read the paper and you can rejoice over what all God is doing and what you know he's going to do. Oh, you know, my retirement account's wiped. I mean, it's just wiped out because of the stock market and everything else. You know, the first thing I thought of, Brother Letson, when mine got really wiped out, the first thing I thought is, wow, that must mean Jesus is coming. Amen? In other words, I don't need a retirement if he comes. Are you all with me here? All right. Well, don't get nervous about yours then. It'll be okay. And the reason it's okay is because God's promise. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches. I don't remember who I was talking about, but I said something about God could drop a cow from heaven. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If he dropped a cow, wouldn't that be a blessing? Now, hopefully it wouldn't be on the roof, because if it came all the way from there, it'd be tough on the roof. But you know, what a blessing. His promise. Hey, you know, God's good. Would you let his goodness help you change your mind today? Well, I'm mad at God. How could you be mad at God? He's so good. He's so good. Change your mind. Change your mind. Well, I'm going to live the way I want to. But God's so good. He's been so good to you. Change your mind. Change your mind today. Repent. His promise. His promise. Again, no matter how it ends as far as my life is concerned, no matter what all happens in that, ultimately I go to heaven. And I'm in a place in my Father's house, or many mansions. And I'm in a wonderful place, and I'm there with loved ones, and I'm there with Jesus. I mean, no matter how it ends, it ends good. God is so good. And you know, his promises are always true. You can count on that. Hey, let that change your mind today, Christian. Let that, you know, maybe you've gotten cold. Maybe you've gotten, you know, I just don't care anymore. But God's still good to you. And God continues to be good to you. And God continues to bless you. And God continues to love you with his love. Wouldn't you consider today, you know, I need to change my mind. I need to repent. I need to get that right with God. Now listen. Our lives are as secure as the one who holds us in his hand. And that's pretty good. Pretty good. What about his purpose? You know, that's good. Because he lets us work for him. I mean, I can serve God. That's an amazing thing. I will never forget the first time that hit me that I could serve God. I was in a church that needed people to work. Guess what? You're in a church that needs people to work. It's an awesome thing to realize I can serve God. I was watching our teenagers yesterday, and some of them were just having such a good time. Kayla especially, she was having a real good time. But you know, I kept thinking, she can serve God. She's a teenager. And there they are, you know. And Kenny, where's Kenny Gonzalo? He had, I don't know how many trays he's carrying. You know, he learned how to do the waiter thing. I mean, he was carrying trays of food all over the place. And I mean, he's hustling there. But I'm looking around and I'm thinking, you know, those kids can serve God. They are serving their God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And here we are, just us, we can serve him. That's an awesome thing. Wouldn't you just let the goodness of God change your mind today? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's my purpose. I can serve him. There's something I can do. No matter who you are today, there's something you can do for God. Isn't that awesome? It's amazing. You say, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to be a preacher, but you don't have to be a preacher. The preacher needs somebody to work in the nursery. Preacher needs somebody to teach Sunday school. Preacher needs people to drive a bus. Preacher needs teenagers that'll serve senior citizens. There's so many things that we can do in serving the King of Kings, and what a blessing it is. God's good. He uses us. He doesn't just save us and take us to heaven. He has a plan for our lives. It's an awesome thing, wouldn't you? You know, you say, well, I've just gotten kind of cold, and I wish you'd consider today how good God has been to you and how good He is to you. When you turn your back, He's calling for you. When you ignore Him, He still comes after you. When we grieve Him, as it says, grieving the Holy Spirit of God, He still loves us. I mean, what person would do that? What person would say, get away from me, I don't want to hear it? What person would keep coming back and say, well, I know you don't want to hear it, but this is what you need to do. This is what's best. And that's what my God does for me. Oh, listen to me. God is so good to us. His goodness. Number two is His guidance. God's guidance. The Bible says here, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee. Leadeth thee. All these good things that happen in your life. You know, we've gotten too used to the word luck. There is no such thing as luck. Okay, understand, we kid around about it, our men's prayer time, and we have a good time, but we all know what we're talking about. It is amazing. I'll hear people, you know, say, well, I just had some good luck. You know, sports people say that kind of stuff all the time. Yes, well, I just, you know, boy, you had a good game out there. Yeah, I was lucky. Really? Is that why you were weight training all summer long? Oh, really? Is that why throughout your childhood you practiced and practiced and practiced just so you could have good luck? That's so foolish. So foolish. Amen. I know some of you, take your hand off your rabbit's foot right now. It'll be okay. All right? Preacher, you ought to knock on wood when you're saying things like that. I do knock on wood. Just like that, all the time. It has nothing to do with luck. You know, luck and that idea is robbing God of His goodness. It isn't luck, it's God's good. Do you understand that businesses closing has nothing to do with bad luck or good luck? It has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with the providence of God Almighty, and He knows what He's up to. He knows what He's doing. He knows what His plan is. I know one person who lost their job, and they're about to get a better one. Would never even thought about that other job had they not lost the first job. Hello? You say, well, I lost my job. I'm thinking about McDonald's. Then you'll get to eat the salads. Amen. But you know, God's guidance, He leadeth. The goodness of God leadeth me. And it's like this. It's like good things that God is doing in our lives and the blessings. And again, when I say good, I'm not necessarily talking about what feels good. I'm talking about things that God does where it's obvious God is doing something. We know that all things work together for good, the Bible says. And those things, as we look at them, it leads us where we're supposed to go. And that is to change our mind about things, to change our mind about God, to change our mind about serving God. It leads us, God's guidance. Do you understand? The devil wants anyone or anything to get credit except for God. Anyone or anything. That's why humanism is the religion of our day. Secular humanism, man is the measure of all things. Man is so great. Man is the greatest thing. You know, man is going to take credit. Or I've heard some people say, you know, the reason that we have oxygen here and all this kind of stuff, aliens. Yes, it was aliens. Oh, really? Little green Martians. Great. That'd be tough. It'd be tough for there to be aliens since Eve is the mother of all living. The Bible says nothing about it. Hello. I know some of you, it's ruining your whole day. you know? You know, knock on wood, get a horseshoe, rabbit's foot, penny. That's all idolatry. Huh? Why? Because, look, God's goodness is why things happen. God has a plan is why things happen. God allows things to happen. And his goodness, if we'll let it, it will guide us to repentance, to change our mind so that we can be what God wants us to be. That's why some are so miserable here this morning, because you've not looked at God's goodness. That's why during Thanksgiving, you didn't thank God for anything. You don't see anything positive. Everything's bad. It's doom and gloom. It's all over. The end is near. Great. Praise God. The end is near. Hallelujah. Preacher, you're discouraging me. Oh, glory to God. Isn't that great? I'll be able to see 20/20 out of this right eye if the end is near. Won't that be a blessing? Hey, throw away the glasses. Don't do it now. Not till the end is here. But you know what? That'll be all right. Grandma used to always, every time Grandma would get up out of her chair, she went, oh. The other day I got up and I went, oh. I said, what is that all about? In heaven, there won't be any. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something. You got a hearing aid? Throw that thing away if the end is here. Don't do it yet. Pastor said to throw it. What? No. But I'm telling you, if we would just realize how good God is, that would lead us to living right and doing what he wants us to do. God's goodness, God's guidance, the last thing is God's goal, and that is to change our mind. Repentance, repentance. That's where so much Christian growth is, if we would just look at how good our God has been. Oh, I know there's chastening. I understand that. I know there's conviction. I understand all that. I know there's a law of sowing and reaping, and I understand all that. But wow, today, just if you'd look at the goodness of God. Look at the goodness of God, because his goal, the goodness of God, leadeth thee to repentance, to changing your mind. And you know, if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to change your mind about that sin that you're holding on to. Oh, you know, and I did all those things. Well, if I got saved, I'd have to go to church, I'd have to do this, I'd have to... Forget all that stuff. If you get saved, you're going to go to heaven someday. If you get saved, God's going to forgive you. If you get saved, I promise you, that sin is going to start to stink. But you need to get saved. That's the most important thing. And look at the goodness of God. Wouldn't you just look and consider today the goodness of God and let that change your mind? God loves you. God loves you. He loved you so much, he sent his son to die for you. Hey, you know, you're here today and you're not saved, but you're very religious. That's a dangerous place to be. My heart was broken. Brother Stewart and I talked about it because so many, I'm sure, that were here yesterday, very religious people, but I'm sure there were some that were not saved. And it's a dangerous place to be. Well, I was sprinkled when I was a child. I did catechism and I learned all kinds of different things. Well, you know, I joined the church when I was in my late teens. Well, you know, I've been faithful. I've taught a class for many years. But have you ever trusted Jesus as Savior? Well, I believe God. I believe in him. No. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you ever called on him to come into your heart and save you and forgive you? Well, you know, we don't. No, look, God wants to change your mind about that. He wants you to change your mind that look, religion will not get you to heaven. Good works will not get you to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He wants to convince you today, if you're not saved, he wants you to change your mind about whatever you think is going to get you to heaven, about whatever you think about salvation. He wants you to change your mind about it and get saved today and call on him. I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I changed my mind. God's goal, repentance. Maybe you're here as a backslider. You're saved, but you've gotten away from God. God wants you to repent. Would you think about his goodness to you? Would you think about what it was like when you got saved? Would you think about all that God's done for you and get right with him? Repent. change your mind. Maybe you're a casual Christian, you know. Oh, I got saved. I haven't done anything. God wants you to change your mind about that. He wants you to do His will. Maybe you're unthankful. Maybe you're bitter. There's any number of things you could put in there. Listen to me. Let the goodness of God guide you, lead you to change your mind today. Let the goodness of God. I promise you this. It'll cancel out bitterness when you start thinking about the goodness of God. It'll cancel out an unthankful attitude when you start thinking about that goodness of God. It'll make that sin in your life, you know, oh, we're having a lot of fun. Yeah, but you know, when you really think about that goodness of God, all that's, it kind of looks like what it is. It's just something that's hurting me. The goodness of God. Let it today guide you to change your mind and repent and get right with God. Let's all bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.